pretty awesome. Must be pretty good. It is good. And can I tell you, the church doesn't benefit monetarily from you all going to the retreat, just so you know. Sometimes when people promote things and there's a monetary gain for them, I sometimes question that. But just so you know, there's not a monetary gain for our church for you to go to Encounter. So it's worth it. So several years ago, my husband decided that he wanted to start working out and get into shape. And he decided that that avenue was going to be through CrossFit. Anybody do CrossFit in here? Ever done CrossFit? Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, we got some CrossFitter. Y'all crazy. Y'all are crazy. And so he had started doing CrossFit, and he talked me into doing it. I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought, I can do this. We were both a little athletic most of our life. I was a Marine. I got this. Now, granted, I was old, but I still decided to do it. And so when I started, I could not lift weights. I was super weak. I had no endurance, no strength. I didn't know what a burpee was. And yeah, I was large and in charge, if you know what I mean. So that's what motivated me to start CrossFit. And so after a year of sticking with it, consistently losing my mind and going to CrossFit multiple times a week, after a year, I had gotten stronger. I learned to do a burpee and could actually do it. I could do box jumps. I could row longer than I ever thought was humanly possible. And I could actually do a handstand push-up, which I thought, there's no way that I could do that. And I did this, and I was old. Do what? A handstand push-up? Yeah, I'm too wise to do it right now, girl. Not doing it. And so I even competed in a CrossFit competition. It was a local one. It wasn't a big one. And I didn't die. I mean, I didn't win, but I didn't die. So that was huge for me. And so after a year of consistently, multiple times a week, doing CrossFit, I didn't look any different. I looked no different. Now, granted, I was strong, but I was still large and in charge, if you know what I mean. And so what does any wise woman do when they've been at something, you know, day in, day out, month after month? What would a wise woman do when she has seen no results after a year? She quit. Yeah, I quit. Absolutely. And because I was like, this does not work. I'm strong, but I'm still fat. So I'm over it. That was too much. And so I stopped doing it. And so 3 years ago, my husband never quit working out. Now he stopped doing CrossFit because he was old too. And he stopped doing CrossFit. And 3 years ago, he invited me to go to FitLife. And this isn't a promo for FitLife, but I'm just telling you, this is my personal story. But he started going to FitLife. And he invited me to come. And I'm like, you must be on crack. Do you remember all that time I worked out and my badonkadonk never got smaller? No, I'm not doing that again. And so then one of my very best friends said that she started going to FitLife and invited me to come. And so here's one of the reasons that I didn't want to go, because I didn't want to be the worst one. I didn't want to be the sorriest one, the weakest one, the oldest one, the fattest one. I didn't want to be. But when my friend, who's not athletic at all, and she wasn't very strong, when she's like, I can do this, I'm like, I'm going to go now. I'm like, I probably can't beat anybody else, but I think I can beat her. You know what I'm saying? And so I decided to go, and I went with a little bit of skepticism, thinking, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm getting older. I need to get in shape. And so right when I started, they started this thing that's called a 40-day fit fix. And in that 40-day fit fix, what they did is they taught us how to lift weights with a proper form. We were going to commit to working out so many days a week, commit to the classes, and then commit to doing cardio on top of that. But then they also taught us nutrition. And so when they asked me, do you think you eat pretty healthy? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I feel like I eat pretty healthy. I know the basics of, you know, I don't eat fried foods all the time. I don't eat out a ton. I feel like I eat pretty healthy. However, when they started teaching me nutrition on their scale of nutrition, I realized, you know what? I don't know anything about nutrition. and my eyes were open to really learning clean eating, proper portion control, because who knows, I'm from East Texas, and big country girls like to eat big plates, amen. And so they really taught me all the different principles of what it took to really get healthy. And so lo and behold, after 3 weeks, what do you think I saw? I started seeing results. I was beside myself. I was ecstatic, like I'm doing the happy dance in my closet because the scale was decreasing, my pants were getting more loose, and this has never happened in my life. And so I was ecstatic. So what did I do? I kept going, and I kept going. And guess what? At the end of the 40 days, I had superseded the goal I had set for myself, and so I was absolutely ecstatic. Does it mean that CrossFit didn't work? No. CrossFit works. I know for me, I'm like, no, that was dumb. CrossFit worked. I didn't have all the pieces that I need to really operate in the fullness of it. As I was praying, getting prepared for this, I felt like the Lord reminded me of this. Why on earth would the Lord want me to talk about CrossFit and, you know, learning nutrition and all of that? Because there's a spiritual parallel to this. Lean in and hang on with me. God is saying there are some that are coming tonight and are going to participate in encounter, and they've tried it other ways and they haven't gotten the results. And so they've either quit or they've come in skeptical. And what God said is, if you will trust this process, I'm going to give you all of the aspects, all of the principles that you need to really walk out your purpose as God created you to do it. Amen? Some of you feel like I did, in the sense that I know nutrition. I eat healthy. Some of you know the Word of God. Some of you know the Scriptures. You know the stories. But God said you don't know the full extent of it. And if we are stacked with enough humility, God can teach us anything. See, if I had that arrogant, prideful idea that, no, I got this. I know nutrition. I thought I did, but I didn't really understand it. So my ask is, will we come tonight and the rest of encounter with an attitude of humility to say, God, I know you're a good God, and you can teach me, no matter how long I've been in church, no matter the extent of my knowledge of the Bible. See, one benefit to brand new Christians is they know they don't know it all. They come hungry. They come expectant. But sometimes when we've been around the Word for a long time, we think we know the nutrition and we know how to eat. Amen. If you will walk out encounter with a hunger to say, God, I want all the fullness. I don't want just CrossFit. I don't want just strength training. I want strength training. I want to know the form. I want to know portion sizes. I want to know what to eat, what not to eat. If you will come with that attitude, can I tell you, you will never be the same. God will operate in you and speak life into you. You will walk out the purpose that He created you to be. And can I tell you, if you are still here, God is not done. If you are still here, God is not done. Amen. He's got a word for you tonight and every night that you come. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for your word. God, it is alive and it is life. God, we come palms up, hearts surrendered, God, with an attitude of humility to know that you can teach us something. God, the Bible hasn't changed in 2,000 years, but we continue to come with a hungry heart to hear your word, a fresh word from you. God, I pray for every student, every team member here. God, soften our heart to hear your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. So tonight we're talking about alignment. We're talking about alignment. So when I say align, to align, what's the first thing you think of? What's that? A street light. That is not what I think of. Straight line. I like it. I like it. Okay. All right. Yeah. alignment. So the definition of a line is to arrange in a straight line, to form a line, or to get in proper position. Or it's to change something so that it agrees with, or for it to match something else. It's to bring into line or alignment. So any mechanics in here tonight, any mechanics? Whitney Lindsay raised her hand. Oh my gosh, I don't think she knows how to change. Anyways, Henny, what happens when a car is in alignment? If it's in alignment, drives as it's intended, right? Drives perfectly as it's intended. What happens when a vehicle is out of alignment? Where's the tire? Ladies, it wears your tires out, which a lot of ladies answered. It wears your tires out when the car is out of alignment. So when it starts pulling, or if you see the tread, you know, get wonky, go get your car aligned. Can I say spiritually, we're the same way. When we get out of alignment spiritually, we kind of start shaking a little bit. We start veering off to the left. Amen. That's not just for a car, that's for us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So the next blank is spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment is the process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. Spiritual alignment is learning to walk and live like Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, and if you're saved, that's who he's talking to. If that's you, you ought as moral obligation to walk and conduct yourself just as Jesus walked and conducted himself. That's spiritual alignment. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if God gives us instruction, aren't you glad that he equips us to do that? That's a good God. When he says, Sonia, I want you to walk in alignment with me. I want you to walk in spiritual alignment. He is a good God. He says, hang on, I'm going to show you how to do that. That's what we're going to dive into tonight. The first thing that we're going to talk about is the three parts of me. The three parts of me. And some of the husbands are like, nah, man, my wife's got a whole lot more parts than just three. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. Whose purpose? His purpose, the purpose of God. And may your spirit, your soul, and your body be kept complete and be found blameless as the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. And what that section right there is talking about is it's every part of us. It's not just one part of us, but God's talking about every part of us needs to be submitted and surrendered to him. See, I can't be spiritual Sonia at church and then be nut job crazy woman over the top at my office and then a different person at home. God's saying, I want all of you. I don't want just a portion of you. I don't want just a portion that's convenient. I want all of you. When I was showing homes to someone, I'm a realtor, when I was showing homes to someone, this was several years ago, and it was someone that was in full-time ministry. And so we were talking about making an offer, and this is what he said. I'm going to have to take off my pastor hat. Now listen, this was not JY. This was not Pastor Jeremy. Let me clarify. I should have said that up front. This is not our pastor. It was somebody else. And he said, I'm going to have to take off my pastor hat because I'm going to get crunk with them. And I'm like, is that the way it works? I mean, is that the way it works? That I can be spiritual here, but then I can be something contradictory to biblical standards here. That's not what our Bible tells us. It says all of us. We want to walk this out regardless of where we are. There's a huge compliment to us as Christians when they say, you know what? I know Shane from church, but I also know Shane from work, and I also know Shane with his kids playing sports, and you know what? He's the same guy. He loves Jesus, and it's evident in his character. God's talking about, I want all of you, and that's a true statement about Shane because he's cool like that. So in 1 Thessalonians, it's talking about we're made by God. We have three distinct parts of us, and we're going to talk about the alignment of these three parts. So number one is spirit. Spirit, that's the eternal part of us. That's in close proximity to the Holy Spirit. Number two is our soul. Our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. It's what Sonia thinks and how she feels, what Sonia decides that she wants to do. That's number two. And number three is our body. That's the physical part of us. It's also known as our flesh or our sinful nature, sometimes referred to. It's our temptations, if you will. And so these are the three parts we're going to talk about for a little bit. But those three parts must consistently be in proper alignment for us to function as God intended us to function. The first in the lead is our spirit. Our spirit must be so close and submitted to the Holy Spirit. And then secondly is our soul, following the Spirit, still in submission to the Holy Spirit. And then following up in the rear is our body, which is our flesh. But like I said, they're all in submission to the Holy Spirit. And so it's not that one area is bad or another area is bad necessarily, because when they're all surrendered to the Holy Spirit and we're functioning in proper alignment, they're all good because they're all created by God. Amen. Sometimes I would say, you know, my emotions, they are just a hot and they're so dumb. They're so dumb. And I felt like the Lord's like, I mean, you could be dumb sometimes, Sonia, but your emotions are not dumb. God created our emotions. It's just when I let my emotions lead the way, that cannot be beneficial. So they're good because God created them. We just want them to line up and remain in proper order. So we call this order proper biblical alignment. So it's biblical order of alignment. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then if I do this, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of the Spirit. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, kind of like siblings. They're constantly fighting each other. The two forces are constantly fighting so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Meaning, if I want to live a surrendered life to God, I can't do just anything that I please. But when we're directed by the Spirit, we're not under obligation to the law of Moses. See, there's a battle going on inside of us. It was there during biblical times. It's still there today. And can I tell you, whoever you surrender to is going to win. Whoever I yield to at that time is going to win the battle. The battle doesn't stop. The battle will remain, but it's whoever I yield to. What I want to do just for a moment is give you some practical examples of what it looks like to be in proper biblical alignment, like real life examples. Like, I love the Bible. It's super exciting. But sometimes I'm a little simple, and I'm like, no. Give me like a example today. Like today, if I were going through this, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an example of what it looks like to first be in proper biblical alignment. Now, listen, I'm not a teacher, and so my handwriting is horrible. I apologize in advance. I should have been a doctor, but yeah, I didn't go that route either. But my handwriting kind of looks like a doctor. So we're going to start out. And so, number one, what's in the lead? What should be in the lead if we're going to be in proper biblical alignment? Spirit. Okay, so we'll start out with spirit. And I'm sorry, guys. I know my big head is in the way. So we'll start out with spirit first. And so if I'm going to let the spirit lead, first I want to talk to all of my singles in the room. Raise your hand if you are single, not married, not in a committed relationship. Raise your hand high. Let me see. Single, look around. You can get a date later. Just kidding. Just kidding. Stop looking around. Just kidding. Okay. Don't tell on me for doing that. That was dumb. Okay. So anyways. All right. So if I'm a single person, not looking to mingle and encounter, chill out. We're talking about spiritual stuff right now. So if I'm a single person and I want to live a life where I'm letting the Spirit lead me and the Spirit be number one in my life, if I'm looking to date someone, okay, the first thing I'm probably going to do is, we'll see if I'm going to date, not dute, date. If I want the Spirit to take the lead, I'm going to spend time in prayer, okay? So I'm thinking, what are the things going to be that will keep me allowing the Spirit to lead the way? I'm going to stay in prayer. How often? All the time. All the time. It says pray without ceasing. If I'm going to make sure that the Spirit is leading the way, is in the number one position, I'm going to spend time in the Word. I need to know the Word. If I don't know the Word, how am I going to apply the Word? Amen. So I need to spend time in prayer. I need to surround myself with a community of other believers. One of the greatest things we can do is surround ourselves with other people that love Jesus, not just go to church, but love Jesus. Because there's people that go to church and may not still walk this out. Amen. So I'm saying surround myself with other people that passionately love Jesus and want to walk this life out surrendered to God. And so these are some of the, I know it's simple, but I'm just going to keep it simple. But these are some of the things that I can do if I'm a single person and I'm dating, looking to date, want a date, thought about a date, whatever. These are the things that are going to keep me in spiritual alignment. This is going to be number one. These are the things that I'm going to do. And so next would be soul, because soul is second. And so what this may look like is, so I'm still on the dating scene. And so what this may look like is I'm dating a guy. I'm a girl. That would be odd to say. Anyways, whatever. So I'm dating this guy, and because I'm spending time in the Word and I'm staying with other people that love Jesus, spirit's first, soul is next. That's my mind, will, and emotions. And so this may look like, hey, you know what? We both go to church. We have similar interests. We are both focused on our career. We're trying to, you know, climb that corporate ladder or whatever. So it looks good, right? So we both go to church. We have the same goals as far as growing in our career. However, because I've spent time with the Lord, as I look at the direction that we're heading, I feel like there's some areas that are not lining up with the Word of God. And so because I'm letting the Spirit take the lead and I keep spending time and asking the Lord, is this the person you want me to spend my time with? The Lord may say, you know what? Nice guy, not this season. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, not this season. And so because the Spirit leads, the soul is second. Then we have our body, which is our flesh. Because I've submitted here, this is submitted to the Holy Spirit. This is going to follow suit. When I let this lead, my sinful nature is not going to boss me around. Okay? That's what this looks like. Married folk, don't think you're off the hook. So let's look at that. So married, say there's a job opportunity coming up. And so how do I keep my spirit in the number one position? I do the same thing. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in the Word of God. I spend time surrounding myself with other people that love Jesus. And can I tell you, before I came to know Jesus, I was 31 when I came to know Jesus. My family wasn't raised in the church, and so I wasn't raised in the church. And when I came to know Jesus, one of the first things that I thought of, honestly, was I don't want to go to church because I want to quit doing what I'm doing because I have a lot of fun doing what I'm doing. I'm just being serious. And so I really thought that. But when I came to know Jesus, I prayed this crazy prayer, and I said, God, if you're real, I need you to show me that you're real because I'm not sure that I believe all this. I said, Jesus crap, but my bad. I said, I'm not sure that I believe all this Jesus stuff. And can I tell you, God radically changed my life, and he has continued to change me over and over and over again. I don't walk in perfection, but I really try to walk in surrender. And God has surrounded me with the most amazing friends that passionately love Jesus and are so retarded. They're so fun, and they're so crazy. We do life together. We go on vacations together, but we laugh, and laugh some more. But that was a lie from the enemy that was trying to keep me. One of the many reasons that was keeping me out of church, because I thought, you can't have fun serving Jesus. Big, fat lie. There are people that passionately love Jesus and are fun as heck. So, okay, back on track. All right. So as a married person, if I have a job opportunity that comes up, I'm going to submit it to God because the Spirit is leading the way. And so with the soul being in second place, that's my mind, will, and emotion. I'm going to weigh things out, okay? Just because I let the Spirit lead doesn't mean I'm brain dead. My brain didn't stop working. God still wants me to use my brain. Thank God. It works some of the time. And so I'm going to look at income. You know, I'm going to look at environment. I'm going to make a list of things that I feel like I need to look at. Logically speaking, can I put food on the table for my family? But then I'm going to submit it to God. I'm going to surrender it to the Holy Spirit. When I do that, sometimes I may get a stirring in my spirit that's like, let's look at this a little bit further. And so when I really start analyzing it, I looked at the entire company as a whole and the entire leadership team, and it's contradictory to the gospel. It's contradictory completely. So guess what? Then the body is following up in the rear. So because I've spent time with God, because I've looked at my options, I've used my brain, but I'm not just being moved by the income, because sometimes that can get us in trouble. We get it back to letting the Spirit take the lead. And guess what? Even though it was more money, I decided to let it pass through my hands because it didn't line up with what God wanted me to line up my lifestyle with. Are y'all tracking? All right, so let's talk about what it looks like to get these out of alignment, okay? So let's go back to our single people. So if I am not letting the Spirit take the lead, I'm letting the soul, my soul, take number one place, okay? So as a single person, what this may look like is my soul is my mind, will, and emotions. And so what this may look like is I've been single for a long time. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my whatever. And you know what? Everybody's getting married. If I see one more woman post her engagement, yes, yes to the dress. I said yes, whatever. I'm going to vomit, okay? If I focus on that, I can end up letting my soul take precedence right here. And because I stay so focused on my feelings and everybody posting their say yes to the dress pictures and then their wedding pictures, instead of me surrendering my relationship or my loneliness to God, I'm surrendering my will and my emotions because I don't want to end up alone. That's just a real factor. You know, loneliness is not fun. Loneliness is not fun. And so if I focus on my loneliness, my singleness, my frustration with not understanding why I'm still single, that means I'm going to let the soul make my decisions. And so when I do that, then I may compromise my integrity and my Christian values, and I may end up with someone that is not living a life pleasing to God. Let me just be real with you. All my single people that are in the room, if you operate right here and you let your soul, your mind, will, and emotions make your decisions on your relationships, you're going to compromise your purity. You're going to compromise your value. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what you've done yesterday, today, whatever, you can still live a life of purity regardless of how old you are. That's not an antiquated idea that was written 2,000 years ago. God says, I've equipped you to walk in purity, and you can still walk in purity and holiness and surrender to God, and I will bless everything that you touch when you do that. Amen? We can still walk this out. And so when we let the soul lead as a single person, make those decisions off of our mind, will, and emotions, your body is going to follow. And then the Holy Spirit, your spirit is over here saying, hey, guys. Hey, guys. Here I am. It's not that our spirit is dead. It's just we can't hear quite as clearly when we're allowing our soul to make decisions or our body. And I'll stop writing because y'all can't read this anyways. But married couples, if we allow our soul to be in the number one position, what this may look like for you is you're focused on your husband working long hours. You're so frustrated because he is working late all the time. Even when he's at home, he's working. He's working on the weekends. You focus on that frustration. You get more and more frustrated with that. And then you're working out at the gym with that little trainer, and you start compromising your integrity and your thoughts. And sure enough, when this leads, the body's going to lead right after that. And before you know it, you've had an affair and you've compromised your marriage. Not that a marriage can't be restored. It can. But can I tell you, there's a lot of hurt that's involved when we allow the soul to take the lead. Or it may not even be an affair. But say you hang out with girls that are your girlfriends, ladies, that are not living a life that's surrendered to God. Or guys, the same, you're hanging out with your guy friends that are not living a life surrendered to God. And they start putting thoughts in your mind, and they're talking about things that they shouldn't think. And before you know it, you're compromising here. Am I tracking? Y'all get it? All right. So we could talk about the body leading the way. And who knows, that's a real bad idea. If we let our bodies, our sinful nature, our flesh lead the way, we are in a world of hurt. Amen? We cannot let our sinful nature, our flesh, lead the way. So does that give you an idea of spiritual alignment and the concept of being in alignment versus being out of alignment? All right, let's continue on. So we're going to go further into detail about what does a life out of alignment look like? What does a life out of alignment look like? Number one, a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. Stuck in habitual sin. Habitual means repeatedly. The same sin over and over and over again. Galatians 5 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. If you didn't catch any of your issues in there, that should. Other sins like these means that this list is not all-inclusive. Other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what a life out of alignment is going to produce. And we're all prone. We're all subject to this. It doesn't matter the titles that we have, how long we've been in the church. We are all subject to falling into that if we're living a life out of alignment. Number two, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they're hurting. They hurt others because they are hurting. Can I tell you, when I am out of spiritual alignment, a quick way for me to recognize it, one of my areas, I'm just telling you personally for me, is I can get hypercritical, mainly of myself and of my spouse. And that's a warning flag for me when I am getting out of alignment. And so I'm hurting myself, but I'm also hurting my spouse when I become hypercritical, and it's from being out of alignment. And there's different things that get us out of alignment. We'll do an exercise at the end to help you recognize that. But hurt, people out of alignment will hurt others because they're hurting. Number three, people out of alignment suffer unnecessary pain, which is wasted pain. It's unnecessary pain. It's wasted pain. And this is referring to the consequences of sin, because that's pain that you would not have experienced if you were in alignment. That it's talking about, that pain could have been avoided. That pain could have been avoided. That's unnecessary pain. Sometimes we go through pain, and it may sound silly, but there's a benefit to the pain. But I'm talking about unnecessary pain, pain that could have been avoided because I was out of alignment with God. Number four, a life out of alignment will speak, they speak curse, or they speak and live under curses. When I'm out of alignment, I speak and live under curses. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." See, when we're out of alignment, it's usually really evident in our verbiage, in the way we talk, in our actions. It's very evident. It's interesting that it says, we'll eat its fruit of it. So the question is, what are we speaking? What are we speaking? Life and death is in the power of our tongue. That's interesting that there's power in our tongue. So I need to be really aware of what I'm speaking. Really aware of what I'm speaking. And just because it's true doesn't mean that it needs to be said. Just because it's true doesn't mean that I need to say it. Am I speaking life over a situation? Or am I speaking death over a situation? The Bible says whatever is uplifting, that's what I need to be speaking, regardless of the situation. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Speak life. And again, it's not that I lose my brain if I'm sick or if I hurt my back or something. It's not like I ignore the obvious, but I'm not going to continually speak death over it. I'm going to thank God for his word because he says, I am healed by his stripes. Amen. We need to watch our words. And if you have the tendency to be normally pessimistic, I challenge you to watch your words. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you can make some adjustments. And the Holy Spirit is faithful. Amen. If we surrender it to him. So why is alignment important? Number one, alignment with God will bring freedom from habitual lifestyle of sin. It says, what I feed grows, and what I starve dies. Do we have any gardeners in here? Anybody that likes to garden? Whitney's lying. Nobody? No gardeners in here? No gardeners at all. I am shocked. We are in East Texas. Somebody needs to garden. I don't. Okay, there we go. We've got one gardener. All right. So what happens when you first get that plant into the ground? What do you have to do to take care of it? There you go. You feed it. You water. I don't know what you feed it, because I'll kill everything. I mean, my, what's those plants that live in the desert and they last? Succulents. Mine's struggling. It's like, hey, system, it's been a while, so I don't know what they feed. But you water it. As soon as you get something in the ground, you water it, all right? You feed it. And I've heard of people that are great, and they talk to their plants. It's kind of strange to me, but whatever. They talk to plants, and they say that it really works. Like if you're in an enclosed environment and you talk to your whatever, you talk to your plants, and they grow, okay? And so what I feed is going to live, and the opposite is true, which is what I starve is going to die. If I continually feed myself the things of God, if I continually over and over and over again feed myself the things of God and I apply it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to grow. It's going to just sprout out of me. And the habitual sin in my life is going to die. But if the opposite is true, what does that mean for us? That means if I'm not feeding myself the things of God, if I'm not applying the things of God, it's not going to grow. And I'm going to be subject to getting out of alignment. Number two, alignment will bring unparalleled peace. Alignment will bring unparalleled peace. Peace. It says, regardless of what you're walking through in life, when you're aligned with God, He will provide peace for every circumstance. For what circumstance? Every circumstance. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, that peace, what peace? It's the peace of God, and that peace which assures the heart, that peace, says it again, that peace which transcends understanding. That means it doesn't make sense to my natural mind, Hunter, when I'm walking through a situation. That peace of God, it transcends understanding. That peace stands guard over my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. It's yours. I was a single mom with three kids for 11 years, and I came from a sweet family, but we were just poor white trash. We didn't come from money, and as a single mom with three kids, I've always been a hard worker, but can I tell you, I didn't get child support, and so we struggled financially. There were times that we sat in the dark because I couldn't afford to keep the lights on. And there were times where I wasn't sure how I was going to put groceries on the table for my kids. That was a rough, rough time. And I didn't know God at that time. And when I came to know God at 31 years old, I said, I'm not going to half-step this. I've done it my way for 31 years, and it didn't turn out really, really well. And so if this God stuff is real, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a try. What I said is I'm going to take 6 weeks, and I'm going to apply everything I can to the Word of God. I'm going to surround myself with other people that I think know about this Jesus stuff, and I'm going to push for 6 weeks. I'm going to do everything I can, and God, if you're real, I need you to show me that you're real. And like I said previously, God showed me in those 6 weeks, I am just as alive as you are breathing. And I'm telling you, it changed everything. It changed the trajectory, not just of my salvation, not just of my eternity. It changed everything in my life. And do you know, a woman who has struggled to keep food on the table for her kids and a mama who couldn't keep the lights on, what's one way that God can get my attention real easily? It's through my phone. That's exactly it. That's a quick way. It's to turn my lights back on. Thank you. That's a good way. But He got my attention real easily with my finances. That was one of the things that I said when I first went to church and I got saved. I said, I don't understand this tithing stuff, and I'm not sure that I'm in agreement with it, but God, I'm going to do it your way. And I started tithing right away, even though I wasn't sure how I was going to make ends meet. And this isn't a pitch for tithing. Pastor Jeremy didn't ask me to do this. I'm telling you my story. And I started tithing right away. And can I tell you, several years later, my alarm's going off. It's telling me to shut up talking. Several years later, God in His faithfulness, He got us a brand new brick home on a slab, which was a big deal because we lived in a Pier and B home, on a slab in a precious subdivision. It's family oriented. And I'm telling you, it totally changed my life because I realized God's word is true. Malachi 3:10 says, try me and see if I won't pour out the windows of heaven. That will be so crazy. You can't even understand it, Sonia. And I know for a lot of you, it's like, nah, big deal. It's a house. Listen, that's a big deal for me. And since that time frame from 31 to 50, I don't know, I stink at math. But anyways, a long time ago, I've continued to serve God and I've continued to trust him. And he's brought us other houses. And I've gotten married to an awesome man. And we've had the opportunity to go on trips and things like that. But can I tell you, all of that stuff was good. The greatest thing God has ever brought me is peace. The greatest thing God has ever brought me is peace, because that stuff is going to fall away. But the peace that God has given me is incomparable. And it's not to say I haven't walked through difficulties, because throughout this time frame, I've walked through trauma and I have walked through some of the toughest days of my life. But that scripture is so true to me. God says, Sonia, I will give you a peace that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Can I tell you, when I am living in a life under alignment, fully in alignment, God's word is true and he will pour out a peace that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Number three, alignment will help us hear God's voice more clearly. John 10:27 says, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and they listen to me. I know them and they follow me. Number four, alignment will provide a strong line of defense. It says alignment with God is a strategic fighting position, but you're not doing the fighting. God is fighting on your behalf. Gives a scripture in Exodus 14 where it's talking about Moses and how he had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and then Pharaoh and the Egyptians were coming after them. Moses was in alignment with God. And so God was fighting on behalf of Moses. Scripture said, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to keep silent and remain calm. Keep silent and remain calm. Sometimes when we're going through difficulty, sometimes when we're going through a battle, we need to get our mouths on lockdown. Shut it up. Stop talking. Stop telling everybody what's going on. Give it to God, because he's already going before you, and you need to stay calm. Chill out. Anytime I'm going through a difficulty, when I get back to scripture, when I give it to God, there is a calmness that comes over me. Number five, alignment will bring motivation to develop a disciplined life without the burden of striving. Without the burden of striving. When I first started working out, it was a little rough. I was striving. I had to force myself to work out. I had to coerce myself to work out. But when I continued to do it over and over and over again, it became muscle memory. It became just like breathing. I enjoyed working out. And our faith is the same way. Our alignment with God, when you first start doing it, it may not be fun. It may not come natural. But when we consistently do it, it becomes a get-to, not a got-to. Amen. God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. He gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind and personal discipline. The abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So for those of us that have ever made the statement, I would love to do this, but I'm not disciplined enough. We've all said it right there. It's not true. God says, I gave you the ability to be self-disciplined. It does not matter what it is. It's become a matter of priority. I want to learn a new language. I want to learn how to speak habla español, and I don't right now. And it's not that I'm not disciplined enough because God sits on you. I give you the ability to operate in self-discipline. It's a matter of priority. I don't want to take the time. I don't want to put in the work. Amen. God says, I've given you every discipline that you need. You've just got to walk it out. But it's available to you. Number six, alignment with God produces a fruitful life. And it's good fruit. And it's healthy fruit. A fruitful life brings a fulfilled life. A fruitful life, which is a life lived in alignment with God, in proper alignment, will bring a fulfilled life. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is the result of His presence in us, it's love, unselfish concern for others. It's joy. It's inner peace. It's patience. It's not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Oh, crud, we're in trouble. We're all going to wait. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is how we act while we're waiting. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. When I'm living a life in proper alignment, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be evident in my life. And again, the opposite is true. If I'm not operating in kindness, in patience, in gentleness, I need to check myself and get back in proper alignment with God. So how do we live a life in alignment? We learn to walk in the Spirit. We learn to walk in the Spirit. So how do we walk in the Spirit? I'm glad you ask. That is going to be next week's teaching, is how do we walk this out? How do we walk in the Spirit? So right now, we're going to jump in our questions for reflection. And so I want you to flip over to Appendix C. It may say B in your book, but it's Appendix C in the back of your book. And at this time, your table leaders are going to discuss the questions and the exercise. We're going to take about 15 or 20 minutes and do the group exercise. You guys go ahead. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up our group discussions and get ready to finish out the night. I will say, in regards to being in alignment, being out of alignment, when I am out of alignment, it rarely affects just me. When I'm out of alignment, it affects everyone in my life. And it's easy for me to look at how someone else has hurt me. I can tell you who, I can tell you when, I can tell you how they hurt me. But if I look at the flip side of that, when I've been out of alignment, who have I hurt? Yeah, seriously. Thanks. That's hurtful. But I'm kidding. But when I'm out of alignment, I hurt other people. And so instead of being super hard on others, when they've hurt me, it's an opportunity for me to take a step back and remind myself that I have to stay in alignment, because when I'm out of alignment, it's hurting other people as well. So would anyone, just briefly, be willing to share maybe just one or two points of any of these questions, not to get too personal, but would anybody be willing to share maybe what, you know, how they're out of alignment, or what pulls them out of alignment, or what obstacles that they may have from keeping them in alignment? Gina? Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. She said that she can tell that she's out of alignment when she reacts real quickly with her children and overreacts. She's reminded that she's not been spending time in the Word. I thought that was just normal parenting, but whatever. Just kidding. Yes, sir. That, yeah, I like to think I have a better idea and a better plan too. Yeah, anybody else?
I just had when I know I'm out of alignment, my mouth, particularly at work.
Okay, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Good job, good job. She said her mouth can be the dictator to remind her that she's out of alignment, so yeah. I sometimes wonder if my face is ever going to get saved. I'm still praying for it because I really try. Maybe one day my face will get saved. All right. Is there anybody else who wants to share? I know. I'm going to keep it super spiritual, right? All right. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for engaging in the conversations. I could see there were tons of great conversations taking place. Not only do we want to hear the word, but we want to apply the word, engage in conversations. And one thing I ask is that we take this list and reflect on it throughout the week. Spend some more time in prayer, asking God to illuminate any other areas regarding alignment or misalignment that we need to get back in proper alignment so we can really walk out all this life that God has planned for us, because the best really is yet to come when we walk in alignment with God. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. God, I thank you for every student, every team member that has shown up tonight. God, I thank you that your word is true. God, I thank you that there was clarity with your word. And Father, we surrender our lives to you, Lord. We want to live in proper alignment, always submitting to the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you so much. We pray blessings over every person here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You all have a good evening, and we'll see you next week.